Does your company need to hire?
Sales account manager, regional sales manager, accounting manager, senior payroll manager, regional manager, customer service rep, bilingual telephone banking rep, marketing coordinator, recruitment coordinator, office coordinator, finance and payroll administrator, property administrator, administrative clerk, administrative assistant, clerical assistant, account executive, mailroom clerk, data entry clerk, accounts payable clerk, human resources clerk, corporate law clerk, financial accountant, chief operating officer, event planner, receptionist, data entry specialist.
The Bag Group are leading Canadian owned and operated staffing and resource experts, trusted by Canadians for more than 40 years, because it's never just about a job. It's always about the right fit. Head to BAGG.com and find the right fit today.
Let me introduce to you Newell and Colleen Sarek. First of all, guys, am I pronouncing your names right? Is it Newell and Colleen Sarek? Is that right, Colleen?
That's cool. Yeah.
Or Newell, whoever.
Yeah, that's close enough. Close enough.
Well, no, how do you say it? I want to get it right. What is it?
Sirak.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What is that, like Polish or something? What is that?
It's Hungarian, actually. You're pretty close there. I mean, it's a good Hungarian name.
Good Hungarian name.
Pierogies.
Really?
Cabbage rolls.
Yeah.
Cabbage rolls. Guys, I have told your story to a few people because obviously before every show, someone will say to me, "So who's on the show this week?" And I go right to your story, and the look on people's faces. I mean, come on. This is the goofiest thing. This is just nuts. So I don't even know where to begin with this story. So let's begin at the end instead of the beginning, because that's how I roll.
Okay.
How have you come to terms with the fact that another family is exactly where you guys used to be? In other words, the guilt that I'm sure must have come along with. Oh, hold on. I forgot that there's people just tuning in and they don't know what the heck we're talking about. So let me sum things up a little bit here.
Okay.
If I get things right, it goes like this. Passenger van accident, number of people dead. One of them is your daughter. And then you have a funeral for your daughter. And then you find out afterwards that it wasn't your daughter you had a funeral for. It was another girl who was in the van that died. And your daughter is actually still alive in the hospital. That's basically the gist of it. As a quick summary, we'll get into the details a little bit later. But Newell, did I get that fairly right?
Yeah, you got it fairly right. It was the accident happened, and we got word that our daughter had been killed in the wreck. And then for 5 weeks, we thought that's exactly the way life was going to be for the rest of our life. So it was the end of that 5 weeks that we found out that our daughter was actually alive. And they'd mistaken the identification with her and another girl in the accident.
Yeah. Oh, man, I have so many questions. This is like literally hurting my head. Colleen.
Yeah.
The other family, they're the ones that really did lose their child. And they never got a chance to have the proper sort of closure to this, I don't think. So how do you deal with... Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but if it was me, I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness, I almost feel bad about celebrating my daughter's alive when theirs is not.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Don and Susie Van Ryan and their family are the most unique, amazing family, and we're so thankful that they were the family that Whitney was cared for by. And we didn't know them before the accident. Our kids both attended the same college, but Laura was 4 years older than Whitney, and I just remember when I met Don and Susie at the hospital that morning at 9 a.m. when we had gone down and found out that it really was our daughter in the hospital bed, Don and Susie hugged us and he said, "You must think that we're such idiots that we couldn't recognize our daughter for 5 weeks." And my heart was so breaking because I knew the feeling of loss for those 5 weeks and what a hole was in my heart. And I was just saying how sorry I am for them, and they were saying how happy they are for me. I mean, that just shows their character right there. They were amazing, and they, you know, they did such a good job. They were with Whitney every moment. They stayed there. They were round the clock with her for those 5 weeks, caring for her, loving her, singing over her, praying with her, you know, braiding her hair, everything that you just... can't thank them enough for. So yeah, there was definitely a heartbreaking, and there's, it still is, you know, there's like on the moment of every May 31st, I call them or send them a text and just tell them I'm thinking about them, because that's the day that they gave us Whitney back and they realized that they had lost Laura. So it is a very hard thing, and we're so thankful that we're still friends and stay in touch, and we're very thankful for them in our lives.
Newell, I'm going to go to you in this next question because I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of a generalized thought, but frustration, anger, somebody needs to pay for this. I don't know. That kind of thinking tends to be more male-y.
Male-y.
Like, how could someone screw up so bad in this situation? How did that whole thing go down, Newell?
Well, I got to tell you, Drew, I don't think it ever. I'm not some super spiritual man, but I don't think I ever really felt anger toward the driver or even the mix-up. I just was so, I think, taken back by all that had happened and the mix-up itself that it caught me totally off guard. When Colleen first told me that they had made this misidentification, I go no. We buried Whitney. But at the same time, then I go, when you get down there, if it's really Whitney, you got to let me know. So I don't think I really ever had that feeling of anger. I just, in my head, in my mind, I'm going, you know, we all make mistakes. And I'm not this super spiritual guy, but I just know that because of Christ in my life, it just made me understand that I've been forgiven a lot of junk in my life, and I'm going, you know, this same thing is what's happening for this guy that was driving the truck, and I don't know, I never experienced that kind of anger or any of that.
No, they did meet us at the hospital, and the coroner who called both times when I got the phone call about Whitney being dead and then Whitney, you know, thinking that they had misidentified her, Newell was gone on both those trips, and so it was the same gentleman who called me, and he was the coroner from Grant County, and he came to the hospital that morning and tried to explain, because Don and Susie and I were there, and we couldn't get our heads wrapped around how this could even happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they did explain to us there was 9 people in the van, and 5 of them died, like, at the scene, because it was such a horrific crash with a semi-trailer hitting and taking off, you know, the whole side of the van. Anyways, everybody had been thrown so far and around. When they were doing the assessment, they found the people that had died right away, but this one girl who was in extreme trauma, and they airlifted her. And so when they got the girl into the helicopter, they grabbed the closest identification, which was a purse, and it was the purse of Laura with her license, and it was the body of our daughter. So, you know, this is how they explained it to us. So at that moment, our daughter became Laura. And then out of the bodies that were left, one was a woman, one was a boy, one was a girl with dark hair, one was a girl that was larger with blonde hair, and one of the girls was, you know, the same size, same length, color, hair, same body build. And so that girl became Whitney. And so, you know, they explained things to us because we had lots of questions. But, you know, in the midst of it, the anger wasn't there. There was lots of questions to understand and to process. But, you know, we're thankful because anger can consume you, and anger can eat away and continue to do that. So we're thankful that we were able to get past the anger through having questions and having them answered.
So, Newell, if I got this right, I think I just heard you say, I think you said it twice, I'm not a super spiritual guy. And from everything I know about you, that's very true. No, I'm kidding. here's the thing. I think I heard you say, because I'm a Christian, I didn't get angry. Is it that simple?
Well, it's not. Well, I think as I process through this, I'm thinking, you know, the Bible, what I believe from Scripture, what I believe from the Bible, what I've been taught and fully believe is that one day, whether we die on in this earth or not, we're going to be united together if we are Christians, if we've committed our life to Christ. And so that's the thing. I think that understanding and that hope is what kind of stemmed any of the anger that I probably would have had if otherwise. Now I know not everybody reacts the same way, but it wasn't that. It wasn't that it was so simple, but at the same time, I understood everybody makes mistakes. This guy made a mistake, a big mistake, and something he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. And I just realized that my hope, my understanding is that I was going to see Whitney again no matter what. And so I think that is what gave me that assurance, gave me that feeling of confidence that even though I won't see her here, I will see her in the future, which is much what the Van Ryans are understanding as well, because they've said that to us many times, or several times anyway, about, they're going to experience the joy that we have of being reunited with our daughter, when they're in heaven with their daughter.
What is, you guys were interviewed a ton. I mean, you were on every show imaginable, and your daughter as well. I mean, Laura was interviewed a whole bunch as well. What is something that the media, I don't know, didn't really get? And maybe another way to ask this is, was there anything about being interviewed so much that really frustrated you? Colleen?
That's a good question, but I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
There's nothing. I just thought, It is such an incredible story that it's easy to miss the subtlety of some things in this story. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. So if you guys don't know, that makes three of us.
I think that early on, there were a lot of people that couldn't understand why we weren't going to sue anybody. Why are you not going to sue? Why are you not going to take them to court over this? Why that? And I think that I don't know if they fully understood that, but we gave our reasons for it, and yet there were still some others that were going. I heard someone had heard another radio talk show going on, and something had come out in the paper that we were gonna sue the people, or we were getting set up to sue them, or something like that, which was totally mistaken. And the guy that was doing the interview with whoever else it was, he said, yeah, that's just typical. It's just typical, thinking that it was going to be something that would happen. But I think that was the only thing that I can think that was hard for the media to understand.
I just want to bring in my pal, Tim, here. And speaking of pals, when I was driving down here today, I was talking to a buddy of mine about your story. And that was the first thing he said. Well, did they sue?
Yeah.
And this is from a Canadian. We don't do a whole lot of that compared to you guys. Anyway, Tim, we had discussed earlier, and Colleen and Newell, I don't know if you've heard of this, but up in our neck of the woods in Saskatchewan, one of our states, we call them provinces, there was a hockey team traveling on a bus, and it was obliterated by a tractor trailer. And Tim, was there not a mistaken identity situation there?
Yeah, as I was listening to their story, it's almost identical in the sense that there was the same body build. There was apparently all the players had just dyed their hair blonde because it was a team, initiation thing, a team unity thing, and so everybody was blonde. Everybody was like, a 17 to 22 year old man, all about the same height.
Yeah,
and it was about 3 or 4 days, I think, after the initial. Your son is dead, that they suddenly realized the same mistake because I guess this boy had woken up or had revealed that he's not who they thought he was.
Wow. Did you guys hear about that story?
Yes, we did.
We did. And there's like some connections because my whole dad's side of the family is Canadian, so we have relatives in Saskatchewan, and my cousins still live in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and my dad was born in Saskatchewan, so...
Gee.
We have... As soon as they heard about that, my cousins called me and our hearts just broke for them, it wasn't as long. It was like 24 hours that they had the misidentification for, but 24 hours is huge, and it's a lot to deal with. And there was such a heartbreak with 17 people dying, and I know that the hockey coach, his testimony and his love for the players and his love for Jesus was really spoken so well through the media. Mm-hmm. And our hearts, you know, really went out to all those families that had such a great loss.
Well, we are chatting with Noel and Col. Oh no, I forgot how to pronounce their last name.
Surak. Yes.
Okay.
He was the Knight of the Round Table that held things up.
Surak? Yeah. Noel and Colleen Surak. Of course, parents of Whitney, who was mistakenly identified as deceased at the scene of a tragic car accident, and, I mean, to the point where parents planned and attended their own daughter's funeral and then found out she was alive. You know, that's the hook of the whole story. I grew up in the funeral industry. I grew up in a funeral home, and then I was a pastor, and I'm a hospital chaplain, and I've been to many, many funerals. And, you know, the bizarre aspect of attending or being able to... hold on, I have to ask this. Was it videoed?
No, it was not videoed. It was the audio. There was an audio taken of it, but not a video.
Okay, so your daughter could listen to her own funeral.
Yes.
It took her a while to be ready for that, but I can still remember her sitting on the couch and listening into it. And really, it was very somber and hard to listen to. And now she jokes about it, and she says, you know, people say the nicest but the hardest thing. She goes, I found out that I wasn't really that good of an athlete, and I found out that my sisters had said I didn't shower enough. You know, some people have some, like, really funny stories to tell about her, And so, you know, she wasn't the best athlete, but she had the best smile and the best heart, you know.
Oh,
and so
that's funny.
She comes away and just, you know, picked out some funny things from it. But one thing that I did love, the pastor that gave her funeral 5 years later also performed her wedding. And it was in the same church and everything. And he said, I've never had the opportunity to say this before, but Matt and Whitney truly understand what it means till death do us part.
Yeah.
At that point, Matt was her boyfriend during the time of the accident, and was such an encourager and such a part of her healing, and has been a great husband to her now for like 8 years already. They've been married.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
Who got the news first about the accident?
I did. That was... on April 26th, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and my husband, Newell, that was when Hurricane Katrina was down in Louisiana, and he was helping rebuild some stuff down there. So at 10 o'clock, I got the phone call saying that there was a really bad accident from my daughter, and I have two daughters, so Carly called, and she said that Whitney might be on, you know, in this, but they don't have any information. So I just waited, and I just was praying, Lord, please help it not be Whitney, And I did get the phone call like an hour later saying that Whitney was one of the people that died at the scene. And so I called Newell. It was the hardest phone call I had to make to let him know that Whitney was gone. Yeah.
Newell, you get this phone call. How does Daddy react to that? Like, what the heck? I don't even... You know, every man is sitting there going, okay, if that was me, what would I do? What would I do? I'm sorry, but... I've had this long-standing arrangement with God, which is basically, okay, God, screw with me all you want, but one of my kids goes down, you and I are done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most theologically positive...
Yeah. No.
Take in the world, but it's, you know, it's, I think most parents relate to that. So what, how did you deal with this stuff, man? And how far away was it? A drive home, a flight home? What was it?
No. Mississippi. We're down in Mississippi. We were rebuilding some homes that had gotten ruined in Katrina. And so I had gone down in our church bus with a group of probably about 30 men. And that night when I got, well, first of all, Connie and I had been talking on the phone together, and we kept getting beeps. This is when technology was new to us. We didn't really have cell phones very long. And going, somebody must be trying to call us. So we hung up, and that's when Carly got in touch with Colleen, then she got in touch with me. And then it was like, I got on my computer, and I'm getting to see is what information I could find out. And it wasn't until later that Colleen called me and told me that Whitney had been killed in the accident. I mean, I broke down. I fell on my knees and just started crying like a baby. And I had a group of about six or seven men that were around me just praying for me. And that's all I remember is I just remember just, and then it became this feeling of not being real at all. It was like that surreal world, you know. I don't know how you can explain that unless you live in that every now and then. It was just a totally, I was living out of body experience almost.
So it's hard not being together. And he did, one of our friends arranged for him to get a flight up to Indianapolis. And I was able to get a ride down with our best friend and pastor at the church. Came over and drove me down to the accident in Indiana. So
they,
it's hard
they
not
got,
being together.
Mm-hmm.
They got me, some friends up in Michigan had put a ticket together for me, and I flew from there to, I think, North Carolina and changed planes there. And the whole time, the world's going on around me, and it just seemed like, don't they know the pain I'm in? Don't they understand how hard this is right now? And I was never so thankful. I don't like window seats in planes. I don't have enough leg room. But I was never so thankful to be sitting against the window at that point and just closed my eyes and tried to just get through that moment.
Yeah. Again, we're on the line with Newell and Colleen Surak, and they are parents of Whitney, who was mistakenly identified as deceased at the scene of a tragic car accident to the point, I mean, you know, her parents planned and attended their own daughter's funeral and then found out she was alive. I want to go to, now this is something that my brain goes to, maybe just because of growing up in the funeral industry. Identification, body identification.
Mm-hmm.
How did that get, like, what?
Yeah.
Well, for me, when I went to the hospital that night, it was like 4 a.m, and they had just finished everything. And by the time I got there, I said, is there anything that I need to do? And they said, no, everything's been taken care of. So our daughter had been there, and they never had asked her to identify the body at that point. And we were glad because, I don't know, my mind is like, I don't even watch scary movies because then I have that in my head and I don't want that in my head. And so when we had the chance at our local funeral home, you know, did they say, do we want to, you know, look at the body? We both chose not to because we had a beautiful picture of our daughter just a week before, had been home for Easter, and you know, we had this great memory of sitting at the table and having an Easter egg hunt, you know, just being together and seeing her laugh. And we didn't want to have this picture of a broken body and bruised body in our minds. So we chose not to look at the body at the funeral home.
And what happened at the accident, you got to understand, I mean, there was total confusion.
Sure.
Chaos. I mean, there were 9 people that were in the van. There were 5 of them that were killed. Bodies were all over the place. And identification and the first responders actually was a friend of mine. We used to live down there in that town of Upland, Indiana, close to where the accident happened, and he was one of the first responders, and I later talked to him, and he said it was confusion, he said, but there was this one girl up, had been thrown up against the fence, and she had her jaw clenched tight in it, and he said, we were just trying to stabilize her and got her into an ambulance when the ambulance finally showed up. And then the state police came by and they were trying to identify the different bodies and put a few IDs down on the bench in the ambulance that is one of these yours. And the guy in charge says, we don't have time for that now. And so he waited a minute, pulled it back out. And that's where the confusion it all began at that point.
Yeah.
It just began there.
Did you ever have any of the first responders apologize to you?
No.
Well, we did have the university people. Again, they were people that we knew, and they felt horrible. But with the information that they were given, they made the best decision that they could.
Right.
You know,
right.
Out of the bodies that were there, that was the best one to make. And so, you know, again, it was a mistake. It wasn't anything that was done foolishly or carelessly. It was done the best that it could be done.
Colleen, what impact did this have on your marriage? Because I've heard time and time again from people, especially, now it might be a little bit different in your case because you thought your daughter had died, but she hadn't. So you guys could all live in some future celebratory land of awesomeness. Yeah, that was the worst sentence I've ever said, I think.
He's a broadcaster.
Yeah. But with you guys, did it... I mean, because people grieve differently.
Yeah.
So did it impact you guys at all, Colleen?
Well, it was super hard to go through it. I won't lie that there was, like, so many tears and a hole that was so huge in both of our lives. But it was great to be going through it with Newell. And we do grieve differently, but we were grieving together. And so it was for 5 weeks. I mean, it wasn't like we just got her back the next day. I mean, we lived for 5 weeks. And, you know, I gave all her clothes away to her friends. We, you know, all these things. We did every, you know, we went through all steps for 5 weeks. But as far as impacting our marriage, it actually, for us, drew us closer together because Noel was the only one that truly understood the hole in my heart. You know, friends could understand, but Noel was... It was his daughter and my daughter, yeah. And so we grieved together, and it was something that helped and strengthened our relationship, I feel.
And there was no blaming. There was no blaming going on or anger toward each other at all at that point. I mean, we really did. We found real security in our home. Whenever we would come home, that would be the place that we would find the peace where we could just hold on to each other and just cry together.
Okay, I'm running out of time. I got a few things I got to ask. First of all, what's the name of the book again that you guys all wrote together?
It's called Mistaken Identity.
Right.
And, yeah.
And so if you go to Amazon,
right.
You can find Mistaken Identity there. And that was what? Did that come out last year?
Oh no, this has been 10 years.
Well, 12 years ago was the accident. Years. For the first year, neither of us did any interviews or talked to anybody for the whole first year.
Sure.
If we wanted to make sure that our focus was on Whitney and healing, and she didn't want to be that girl. So we never wanted to do the TV shows. But Susie Van Ryan said a lot of people had asked her, you know, you should write a book. And so, you know, people had said the same thing to us. But, you know, it wasn't until we could do it together that it was right because, you know, God is a good God, but you never get your kid back. You know, that's not realistic for anybody else. But to see how God works on the times when you're grieving, but also on the times when you're rejoicing, that's real life.
Oh, yeah.
And so to have both sides of the story makes it a real story.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't
believe that was back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So that book was written back?
Like in 2008.
2008.
Oh, 2008. Okay. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
You'd think I would have had my facts together here. Jeez.
Oh, no problem.
Again, a funeral home type question, but it goes to the process of grieving and something they call closure.
Okay.
Do you know if they exhumed Laura's body so that Laura's family could have a sort of proper service, et cetera?
Yes, we had gone through a real private ceremony of burying the casket, the interment, and then after 5 weeks, they exhumed the body and moved it down to Grand Rapids for the funeral service down there.
Okay.
And they did have a proper funeral for Laura.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Okay, I got to lighten this up here. I'm sure my three female millennial interns want to know this question. Did your daughter's friends give her clothes back?
You know, that was so funny because it was like after she got back, all of a sudden we start finding little grocery sacks like on her front doorstep. And, you know, it was so funny because it was such a beautiful day when her friends came over and they were able to choose different things that were important to them. And then when she did come back, we got everything back. That was a funny question.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it.
Well, guys, I mean...
You know, just a quick update, though.
Yeah.
The thing that is most remarkable to us is not that Whitney is alive. You know, that was a mistake in identity, and we got her back. But the way that we see God is the most in this is the way that he healed her.
Yeah.
You know, she had a huge, huge, very severe brain injury.
Mm.
And so during the time of healing, it wasn't like she woke up from this coma that she was in for 3.5 weeks and just said, "I'm Whitney Cyrak." She went through so much. It's not like a TV show. And, you know, she was severely mentally impaired. And because she was young and her brain was still growing, that she was able to heal as quickly. And it was 7 months later that she was finally back to speed at like a sophomore college. But I got to say, the thing that, you know, she has been healed mentally and physically. She's beautiful. She is married to her boyfriend at the time, Matt Wheeler. And
she's actually working on a master's program in counseling besides taking care of 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a husband.
So she has been blessed with a beautiful family, and we have daily something to be thankful for.
You know, Colleen, I'm so glad you brought that up because, I'm sort of embarrassed that I didn't think about post, the recovery of your daughter. I think we all just go right to, oh, she's alive. Okay, that's awesome.
Well, that's what happens on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the half-hour sitcom, it's all tied up. And thank you for letting us, you know, just filling in the blank on that one, because that is where the real blessing is for you guys, you know?
Because
she could be so, what am I trying to say?
Well, after living in the hospital for all those months with her, we were able to stay right in the hospital with her. And, you know, it's not normal. You know, brain injuries don't always typically come to like that full
because
percentage.
Because we saw so many others that were struggling. I mean, just really struggling. And we began to understand. It began to finally set into us that this was possibly going to be our life.
Yeah.
And it was only through, I believe, a miracle that she healed the way that she healed.
Yeah, we had so many people that were praying for her, and it wasn't an immediate recovery. There was lots of journeys, so many therapies. Yeah. She had 3 therapies a day for months and months and months, and living in the hospital for months. And, you know, so it was quite a road, and her spirit of, you know, determination and just continuing to work hard, and she wanted to come home so badly. And even when she went back to school, there was still such a gap for her, and she needed, you know, there's so many things that she worked on. One of the things that she wanted the most was her sense of humor back. She used to be very funny and very quick, and she is. But
hold on, you mean like me?
Yes, just like you. But she has really started to come. But, you know, things have changed by going through this. You know, she's not 100% the same, because of everything she's gone through, she has been healed, and she is now the new Whitney, and we love her very much.
Man, this has been a real pleasure to chat with both of you, Newell and Colleen.
Thank you,
Cyrak. And what a story. Let me just say this. If you want to book these guys as speakers, let me tell you, this is a dynamic story. AmbassadorsSpeakers.com is where you want to go. AmbassadorsSpeakers.com, great organization, quality speakers. I've had like 80% of their speakers on this show. And this is another dynamic duo, really, Newell and Colleen Cyrak. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, Drew.
Bye-bye. No, don't say anything about Tim. We don't care about him. No. All right.
Great sense of humor, Drew.